This is Steve Sherlock. This session shares the favorite poem reading that I facilitated at the Franklin Public Library on Saturday, April 18, 2026. As you may be aware, April is National Poetry Month, and this poetry and conversation session was a good way to celebrate poetry. The consensus of the group was to do this more frequently rather than wait until next April rolls around again. So stay tuned. The next one may be in August or September. A listing of the readers and poems or poets is found in the show notes. Say your name, the name of the poem and the author, and then once you finish, something about it so we can have kind of that conversation. All right?
Yep.
Otherwise, it's informal.
My name is Mark Cohen. I'm from Franklin, and the title of the poem is To Birthward by Robert Frost. Love at the lips was touch, as sweet as I could bear. And once that seemed too much, I lived on air. That crossed me from sweet things, the flow of, was it musk? From hidden grapevine springs downhill at dusk. I had the swirl and ache from sprays of honeysuckle that when their gathered shake dew on the knuckle. I craved strong sweets, but those seemed strong when I was young. The petal of the rose, it was that stung. Now no joy but that salt that is not dashed with pain and weariness and fault. I craved the stain of tears, the aftermark of almost too much love, the sweet of bitter bark and burning clove. When stiff and sore and scarred, I take away my hand from leaning on it hard in grass and sand. Their hurt is not enough, I long for weight and strength to feel the earth as rough to all my length. And what resonates about this poem for me is that it talks about the innocent love of the first kiss when you're young and how sweet it can be, but learning later in life that the enjoyment of life might be more painful and impactful just from experiencing a tougher environment, but then getting grounded by the earth and being whole. So that's just a poem. I like the metric to it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the meaning to it, and it just flows so well.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. There's always some time for Robert Frost.
Yeah.
We can always make time for Robert Frost.
And I was thinking a bit more is when you're young, you're not ripe. And so it may not be sweet. It may be sour.
A little raw.
Yeah. And as you get older, it does get better. You either, your taste change and you're used
you
to it.
You age like wine.
It does get sweeter. Yeah.
Yeah, life isn't so innocent. You grow up and you realize through your experiences, things can get tougher, and your taste for love changes. It might not necessarily be that kiss on the lips.
Yeah.
It just might be the environment, the waterfall, things of nature, right?
Right.
Oh, ready?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's
First
okay.
of all, thank you, Steve, for letting me do this, because I was asking Steve if I can bring something from a different language and different literature. So now it'll be good for you to also listen and understand and know about it, first of all.
Absolutely.
So I come from a southern part of India, which is a state called Tamil Nadu. And so the language we speak is more than 3,000, 4,000 years old. I don't know how long it is.
Predates American, for sure.
it's a very old language. And this particular literature was written around 2,000 years back. And we still have the literature, and it is called Thirukkural. Thirukkural is the name of the literature. So Thirukkural is a 2,000-year-old masterpiece. It'll look like a very small poem. Like the total, every poem has only seven letters. Every poem has seven letters. Four letters on the top, three letters, not seven letters, seven words. Four words on the top, three words on the bottom, second line.
Right.
That's all it is.
That's it.
And
haiku.
it's kind of haiku.
Shorter than a haiku.
Yeah, it's shorter than haiku, but the message it conveys is bigger than anything else.
Yes.
So that's the impact. And so there are about 1,330 poems out there. Each consists of 7 words. And they consist of like 10 different chapters. Each chapter will have about 133 chapters. Each chapter will have about 10 verses.
Okay.
10 poems inside that. And it is divided into 3 different partitions, I would say themes. One is aram, next is purul, third is inbam, which means aram is nothing but teaching the ethics, teaching the honesty, compassion. Purul is about governance, work ethics, and leadership. It talks about all of them. And then inbam is about a relationship, love and joy. So mm-hmm. these 3 areas it covers. And everything is written in the similar fashion, that 7 words, 4 on the top, 3 on the bottom. So today I'm going to, I'm going to recite maybe a few from there. The first one is like very close to me. It says like, Pirappukkum ella uyirkkum sirappova seidhol vetrumaiyan. I'll explain what it is. It is again,
And as part of that, since they're so short, can you do it a couple of times?
So I'm going to read it again. It's called Pirappukkum ella uyirkkum sirappova seidhol vetrumaiyan. What does it mean is, all living beings are equal in earth. The difference arises only from the work they do or the action they do in perform. So that's the meaning of that, and it has only 7 words. And like that, there are so many things. So it also says about different powerful statement about the humanity, and then it says no one is born superior or something like that. But it all depends on how you how you show your actions.
Mm-hmm.
It says work, but it's technically the action. How do you show your action? So Steve is well known by everyone because of his action, right? So like that, and Councillor Jakku is also like known for his action. So that's how people know you. It's not about the birth or the superiority we get from people. Mm-hmm. So
is
that's
there a rhythm to it? A meter to it?
No.
It's just expression.
It's all just expression.
Ideas.
Okay. Yeah, it almost sounds rhythmic though.
Yeah, it's the language itself
language.
Is a kind of
it's tonal.
Tonal, yes.
Yeah,
it's a tonal language. So so often look at that one sound.
Yeah, I would like to read 3 more with
sure.
the different sections. Like
yeah.
As I mentioned, the first section is the aram, which is nothing but the ethics, compassion, and honesty. So I'll just say one verse from there. Nandri marappadu nandrendru nandrallathu andre marappadu nandru. Nandri marappadu nandrendru nandrallathu andre marappadu nandru. It's kind of a rhyming. It's like written in terms of
yeah.
So it says it's not good to forget a good deed done to you, but wrong things done to you, forget them at once.
Yeah, priceless.
Yeah.
So I'll read
you
it again.
You always say to that, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right.
So it is not good to forget a good deed done to you, but wrongs done to you, forget them at once.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the meaning of this Nandri marappadu nandrendru nandralladhu andre marappadu nandru. So whatever is bad, just forget it on the same day. That's
cool.
One thing. The second one is on the second section of the theme, where it is talking about the governance, work, leadership, all those things. So this is like, it's going to be a little bit rhyming. Karka kasadara, karpavai katrapin, nirka adarku thaga. 7 words. Karka kasadara, karpavai, katrapin, nirka adarku thaga. Meaning, learn thoroughly whatever you can. Whatever you learn. Learn thoroughly whatever you learn. Mm-hmm. Then live by it.
Then what?
Mm-hmm.
Live.
Learn thoroughly. Thoroughly whatever you can.
I'll
you
say
learn.
Hallelujah, yeah.
So learn thoroughly whatever you can.
These are words to live by.
Yeah.
2,000 years old, you said?
2,000 years old.
Wow.
The script is still valid, and this particular book has been translated in 80 different world languages.
It's still relevant.
It's still relevant. And it's mm-hmm. nothing to be associated with a religion or a community
right.
or a language or anything like that.
It's across the board.
This is across the board, and that's why we call it as a general book of, it can be considered as a general Bible of the world also,
mm-hmm.
because it's all talking about the how to live and how to be yourself. That's what. So I'll read it again. Karka kasadara katravai katrapin nirka adarku thaga, which means learn thoroughly whatever you learn, then live by it.
Excellent.
The third one is about the inbam, which is nothing but the allow relationship and come something like that. So this is a little funny. So, kandu kettu undu irthu uttrariyum aimbulanum undodi kanneva kanneulan. Kandu kettu undu irthu uttrariyum aimbulanum undodi kanneulan. Which means all five senses, sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch are fully alive in presence of my beloved dog.
In the presence of my
beloved love.
Yes.
My beloved love?
Yeah. So, it says, all five senses are fully alive in the presence of my beloved. So, when you are with someone who you love, all your senses are like focused on, all right? Not nowhere else. So that's how the love should be.
Sure.
That's how you should treat
your true love.
Yeah, that's a true love.
Right.
So these are all the three, four poems I shared. So I'll, if you want, I'll read it again. Pirappukkum ella uyirkkum sirappova seidholil vetrumayan, which means all living beings are equal in birth. The difference arises only from the work they do and the deeds they perform.
Yes.
The second one is nandri marappadu nandrendru nandralladhu andrey marappadu nandru. It's not good to forget a good deed done to you, whereas if anything wrong is done to you, forget it on the same day. The third one is karka kasadara katrave katrapin nirka adarku thaga. Learn thoroughly whatever you learn, then live by it. And the fourth one is kandu kettu undu irthu uttrariyum aimbulanum undodi kanne ular, which means all five senses, sight, hearing, taste, smell, touch, are fully alive in the presence of my beloved. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just want to add one thing what Steve said.
By all means.
So we both speak the same language.
So of course.
We copied.
So he did okay.
Did I do okay?
Yeah. Oh, no, he did good.
You know his language, so he did okay.
He did good. He did very good. So what I was going to say is, right, so this 1,330 verses, right, poems,
right.
So most of them, without any extra description, now I can read it, and most of them I can understand. That's the speciality of the way it is written, and the language is still, it just lives like that, you know, it keeps the originality of that throughout the history of 2,000 or 3,000 years. Yeah.
And you did the translations as well, so was it different? Some languages it's hard to translate into English, but it's
very,
not
very
in this
easy
case.
To translate. Very
it's easy to
translate.
Yeah.
Because as he said, the words, though it is 2,000 years old,
you're
the words
about
are very
principles that are universal,
exactly.
Human principles, so
yes.
That somebody should have the word somewhere.
Yeah. So the poet name is Thiruvalluvar. So nobody has seen it, but we have some kind of a picture which people know, like how Jesus was printed the same day. Somebody, you know, put his picture as well. So that's how we put in some of our textbooks as like a symbol and emblem and all those things. But it's one thing which I thought, you know, it's good for everyone to know because it's all basic, simple life lessons which will be, you know, easily grasped by anyone. So I will try to find if any translated version is available and share it with you.
That was going to be another follow-up question, yes, because the library should have something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah, sure. I will definitely get something, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you for sharing, by all means. I'm familiar as well, and the beloved comes as Rumi, Middle Eastern Sufi poet, etc. He referred to the beloved a lot.
All the time. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's all about the translation, who is writing the translation.
Correct.
So they take the word which is very familiar for them.
Yeah.
So I believe someone who is like from that region may have written the translation for them. Yes.
Definitely. Great. Now what? You've had some tough ones to follow, but I'm sure you can do well.
And they're so different, too.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
When do you get to mine?
I was trying to think of our times, how everybody says that they're very difficult times, thinking politically, that we haven't been so divided since the Civil War. So I went back to the Civil War and read some poems. And I found something that reminded me of the 60s. Now, I'm older than everybody here. and it reminded me of the 60s. It was, again, a very divided time.
Yeah.
That was even generation against generation, parents against children. Mm-hmm. Very polemic, politics-wise. And I found this poem that started in the Civil War, and right after the Civil War, and it became an anthem. They sang it, and the Quakers sang it, and it's known as a hymn. And when you hear it, you will recognize it because you may have sang it in church. Okay, it is called Always Rejoicing. And when I read it to you, it will describe, it's all metaphorical, it will describe terrible times, political turmoil, anxiety-ridden disorder. And so think of that when they say storms, you know, this whole mess that
you're in. Disruption.
Yeah, disruption. But every single stanza has a last line that will always say, keep on singing.
Yeah.
In other words, there's always hope. Okay? Mm-hmm. My earth, my life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the real, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, it sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? Mm-hmm. What though the tempest around me roars? I know the truth, it liveth. What though the darkness around me close? Songs in the night it giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I stop from singing? When tyrants tremble, sick with fear, and hear their death knells ringing, when friends rejoice both far and near, how can I keep from singing? In prison cell, in dungeon vile, our thoughts to them are winging. When friends by shame are undefiled, how can I keep from singing? Mm-hmm. And since I mentioned the 60s, this is Pete Seeger. He's a folk singer from the 60s.
Above earth's lamentation, I hear the real, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear that music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? What though the tempest loudly roars? I hear the truth, it liveth. What though the darkness round me close? Songs in the night it giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? When tyrants tremble, sick with fear, and hear their death knells ringing, when friends rejoice both far and near, how can I keep from singing? In prison cell and dungeon vile, our thoughts to them are winging. When friends by shame are undefiled, how can I keep from singing?
The only constant is change. All is passing. Don't give up hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Keep the faith.
Um,
What do you have, Kim?
Sorry, I'm a little emotional now. I struggled a little bit with this. There's one poem that I knew off the top of my head that I was going to share. There's another poem that I would like to share that is also has a musical background. And then a third poem on love that I think is worth hearing as well. The first one I'm going to speak to is called The Man in the Glass. And it's, for me, it's significant because, all right, well, background. As a 15-year-old, I left my home and my family. I'm one of seven kids, and I went to live at a boarding school that I'd never seen before, didn't know what to expect. I started playing football. I'd never done that before, didn't know how sport worked, and did some other sports there. I've been lucky enough to have a lot of worthwhile mentors in my life. They weren't always adults. In fact, my first year at this school as a 10th grader, there was a senior who was a one-year senior, that I looked up to on the football team. I just thought he was great. He knew I didn't really know what I was talking about football. He came to all my wrestling meets and wrestling matches and just kind of cheered me on. And as I said, the person I looked up to, before the end of the season, he left me a poem. He gave me a poem and gave me a little note about it, of just something for me to think about, which is interesting for, a 10th grade, 10th grade and a 12th grade boy. Just really somebody I've always looked up to. In any case, The Man in the Glass, I'll read it as he read it to me, to Kenny. When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say. For it isn't your father or mother or wife who judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. Some people may think you're a straight shooting chum and call you a wonderful guy, but the man in the glass thinks you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest, because he's with you right up to the end. And you've passed your most dangerous, difficult test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the whole world down the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartache and tears if you've cheated that man in the glass. His postscript, he said, remember this whenever you step on the field. Any play could be your last, so make all of them the best you can. Todd Nichols, class of 97. Mm-hmm.
Did he write that?
It's anonymous. It was something that he lived by and he just wanted to share.
That was perfect.
Yeah, that was really meaningful.
Well done. Thanks for sharing that one.
So that's one I've had for... that I live by. He wrote to me on a piece of paper and shared it. I took that paper, covered it with tape on both sides, and I still keep it at my desk in my office today.
A drumming lamination form.
Yeah, that is lamination, right? Yeah. You saved it, preserved it.
So I have it, I reflect on it.
You, in the introductory, you mentioned that you wrestled.
I did.
So did I. We'll have to talk about it. Wrestling is a very unique sport. Just put it that way.
Yes.
Okay, so the second poem that I have to share, for me it's important because, as I said, one of seven, I was, for those who know a little bit about my background, I was born in Nigeria, which is where I'm initially from. Grew up in Hawaii and Michigan, and the primary constant that I've had in my life has been my family. My six siblings, as well as my wife and progeny now, so my broader family, and to me it's very important. There is a tune, it was part of a song, but it was initially a poem that just made me think, that always reminds me of them and how I kind of approach my life, with regards to my family and what it's all. It's called Never Let Me Down. It's a poem by Jay Ivey. Some of you may have heard it in song, because it is a verse in a song, so you'll be familiar with it. Never Let Me Down. We are all here for a reason on a particular path. You don't need a curriculum to know that you are a part of the map. Cats think I'm delirious, but I'm so damn serious. That's why I expose my soul to the globe, the world. I'm trying to make it better for these little boys and girls. I'm not just another individual. My spirit is a part of this. That's why I get spiritual. But I get my hymns from him, so it's not me, it's he that's lyrical. I'm not a miracle, I'm a heaven-sent instrument. My rhythmatic regiment navigates melodic notes for your soul and your mental. That's why I'm instrumental. Vibrations is what I'm into. Yeah, I need my lute by Rente, but that ain't what gives me the heart of Kunta Kinte. I'm trying to get us free like Sinke. I can't stop. That's why I'm hot. Determination, dedication, motivation. I'm talking to you of my many inspirations when I say I can't let you or self down. If I were on the highest cliff, on the highest riff, and you slipped off the side and clinched onto your life in my grip, I would never, ever let you down. And when these words are found, let it be known that God's penmanship has been signed with a language called love. That's why my breath is felt by the deaf. And while my words are heard and confined to the ears of the blind, I too dream in color and in rhyme. So I guess I'm one of a kind in a full house. Because whenever I open my heart, my soul, or my mouth, a touch of God rings out. Mm-hmm.
Jacob. It's beautiful.
Well done.
Yeah, good reading.
Yeah, the reading was very good.
Yeah, the reading was good.
I felt the emotion.
Yeah.
There's a lot of word gyrations in there where you're playing on different sounds and it's coming back, and I think you delivered that just
Yeah, the delivery perfectly. Was very good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that poem resonates well with you. That's a yeah. good poem for you to read. Just, yeah. You could feel your emotion in it, just what's touching.
Yeah. All right, so I have one more, if that's okay.
it's a small group. Go so, for it.
This is one that I appreciate. It's about love and something, frankly, I talked about with one of my younger brothers. I do think it's such a powerful love poem. It's by Pablo Neruda, Sonnet 17. I don't love you as if you were a rose of salt, topaz, or arrow of carnations that propagate fire. I love you as one loves certain obscure things, secretly, between the shadow and the soul. I love you as a plant that doesn't bloom, but carries the light of those flowers hidden within itself. And thanks to your love, the tight aroma that arose from the earth lives dimly in my body. I love you without knowing how or when or from where. I love you directly without problems or pride. I love you like this because I don't know any other way to love. Except in this form, in which I am not, nor are you. So close that your hand upon my chest is mine, so close that your eyes close with my dreams. So that one was translated from the Spanish.
Elizabeth Barrett Browning would like to. Steve, can I read one more?
Yes, you may.
I was inspired to find this, if I can get it open.
Well, you may have missed a little bit. It's being recorded.
Oh.
So you'll be able to get the replay.
Wonderful.
Okay. I want you to look up the sky.
All right.
Shel Silverstein.
All right.
Oh, all right.
Okay. This is for him. All right. Okay. I cannot go to school today, said little Peggy Ann McKay.
Oh.
I have the measles and the mumps. A gash, a rash, and purple bumps. My mouth is wet, my throat is dry. I'm going blind in my right eye. My tonsils are as big as rocks. I've counted 16 chicken pox. Oh, there's one more. There's 17. And don't you think my face looks green? My leg is cut, my eyes are blue. I have an instant flu. I cough and sneeze and gasp and choke. I'm sure that my left leg is broke. My hip hurts when I move my chin. My belly button's caving in. My back is wrenched, my ankle sprained. My appendix pain each time it rains. My nose is cold, my toes are numb. I have a sliver in my thumb. My neck is stiff, my voice is weak. I hardly whisper when I speak. My tongue is filling up my mouth. My hair is falling out. My elbow's bent, my spine ain't straight. My temperature is 108. My brain is shrunk, I cannot hear. There's a hole inside my ear. I have a hangnail and my heart. What did you say? You said today is Saturday? Oh, goodbye, I'm going out to play.
So many excuses.
I love that. No, I remember that. That was one of my favorites.
Shel Silverstein, okay? Next time you come and you read one of his.
Yes. Indeed.
So once upon a time when I was a substitute teacher for about 6 years while I was coaching, before I met the woman who's going to be my wife, I had a bag of tricks as I was going into substitute this class or that class. Of course, as a substitute, you had no control. You just, Mr. Sherlock, you're in covering home ec today. Okay. When I had an English class, it was a little different. So this one usually hit the students fairly well, so I decided to replicate it. Also because I have a sample for tasting later of, and the poem is titled, Reflections on a Gift of Watermelon Pickle Received from a Friend Called Felicity. So watermelon pickles, kind of odd, but think of watermelon, there's summertime, so it's reflecting on the summertime. The thing that I realized later kind of dates the poem, you pick up along the way where it references tobacco, because people don't use tobacco like they used to in the older days.
More but, things rhyme with vape, though, than tobacco.
Well, this is true. So you can change the word and it would just fit right in. Right. So, reflections on a gift of watermelon pickle received from a friend called Felicity. During that summer, when unicorns were still possible, when the purpose of knees was to be skinned, when shiny horse chestnuts hollowed out, filled with straws, crammed with tobacco stolen from butts in family ashtrays, were puffed in green lizard silence, while straddling thick branches far above and away from the softening effects of civilization. During that summer, which may never have been at all, but which has become more real than the one that was, watermelons ruled. Thick, pink, imperial slices melting frigidly on sun-parched tongues, dribbling from chins, leaving the best part, the black bullet seeds, to be spit out in rapid fire against the wall, against the wind, against each other. And when the ammunition was spent, there was always another bite. In a summer of limitless bites, of hungers quickly felt and quickly forgotten with the next careless gorging. The bites are fewer now. Each one is savored lingeringly, swallowed reluctantly. But in a jar put up by Felicity, that summer, which maybe never was, has been captured and preserved. And we unscrew the lid and slice off a piece and let it linger on our tongue, unicorns become possible again. The alliteration, the sound in that, usually got the kids. So, since I was able to acquire some, if you'd like to sample a watermelon pickle.
Thank you, sir.
I love how it ended.
Yeah,
the unicorn would be impossible.
After that reading, absolutely, we'll try. That's not how I thought that would taste.
A watermelon pickle. Mm.
It's different. It's good, right? It's not.
Is it more watermelon or more pickle?
I think it's 60-40.
It's really. I mean, you know.
I like it. I like all things pickle.
Yeah.
It's more pickle.
I'm not a pickle person, but I see how it is both.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what's delicious is watermelon and cranberry juice.
Watermelon, because the sweet and the sour kind of.
It's a good summer drink, yeah.
Where did you find that though? What kind of grocery store?
Online.
That was the only way.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say Felicity.
Felicity.
or Felicia in this case.
Felicia, where can I get some? Yeah. Go to Felicity.com. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if John Tobias was still around today, and I think he has passed, he probably would set up a Felicity.com site and you could order some.
Side hustle. That's awesome.
But yeah, I've got many favorites, but that. For this kind of an open room, you not know who's going to show, and kids are here as well. It's just watermelons. What's wrong with watermelons? We're going to have them soon, hopefully. Summer's coming.
It's inspiring.
So what do you got to share for us today?
I don't know. What's the vibe?
Are we doing silly, serious,
highbrow, low? All over different cultures. We're from classical frost to
hymns and more,
Indian poetry,
esoteric, or my.
Right.
I had lyrics to an anthem.
Yeah,
other Latin, lyrics.
I would say, everything.
A poem that inspired him when he was a 50-year-old football wrestler. Am I right?
Yeah.
I'll do Wendell Berry then. Since we're doing nature's a quick one. The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
Mm, very nice.
That reminds me of mine.
Mm. Yeah. Very meaningful.
Yeah, Wendell Berry takes lost. Yeah, his nature stuff.
So the name of this author?
Wendell Berry, like a blueberry, B-E-R-R-Y.
Wendell.
W-E-N-D-E-L-L.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, he has some poems in this one line that just will take your breath away.
Yeah.
It's really, really
I'm sorry, what was the last name?
Berry, B-E-R-R-Y.
Oh, that's okay. Excellent.
So Amy Adams, who also goes by Painting Venus, is unable to join us today due to her schedule, but she did send one, and with your permission, I'll share it. I may not be able to do her justice to it because I'm not as prepared, but since we've got a small enough group. She says, I hope to share this. Apparently, it's one of those kind of an author is unknown because every time she Googled it, she was getting a different name. Okay. You hold the door open for the man behind you because it's polite. He breathes like someone who's been holding his breath point in for hours. You say after you, and he lingers in the doorway long enough to tell you he's tired. You tell a dumb joke about weather. He laughs and moves his hand away from the note he'd folded between his fingers, a note that would have been the last one he'd ever write. You smiled before you went separate ways. Have a nice day, you say to the man. You say with integrity, like you actually hope his day is nice. Tonight he misses the bus, calls his brother, and tomorrow he wakes up. Still here, still breathing, still alive. You drop a few extra dollars on the table after a meal. Casual, like change is nothing. The waitress takes a photo of the receipt, texts it to for the first time in weeks. She's certain she can afford rent this month. She goes home to her children, who don't have to worry about having a roof for another month. You tell a woman in the restroom her hair is beautiful, because it is. And she stumbles at the word. It's been months since anyone called that. The voice that used to say it is gone, and she hasn't been able to look in the mirror since. She goes home and looks in the mirror twice. And for the first time in a long while, she lets herself be a beautiful with beautiful hair. You sit next to an elderly man on the bus because all the other seats are taken, and the city has a way of pushing people together. He nods at your headphones and asks what you're listening to, and you tell him a song. He hums the melody. You both laugh, and he says it's his wife's favorite. Your mother told you that you always were an old soul. You asked where he's going. He says he's visiting the pharmacy for prescriptions. When he stands to leave, you tell him to take care. He folds your words into his pocket like a tissue. And that night, after the kettle cools, he walks over to the radio and turns up to the song you played him earlier. He smiles at the wedding picture of him and his wife, married for 52 years, now widowed for one, and in that moment, the house is no longer empty, and the man has his wife again. You never know the paths that led someone to stand where they are. Some climb steep, rocky inclines. Some walk smooth roads. Others are still crawling. We can do small things every day to make people feel seen. And it might not save everyone, but it might save the ones who need it the most. So be gentle, offer grace as if you might need it one day for the road you don't know yet that you will have to walk. And it's interesting how she, not even participating today, anticipated a couple of things. The man in the glass was said earlier, doing and giving, right? There's some universality all the time, all around. It's just, thank you, Amy, for adding to the piece of the puzzles.
The city has a way of pushing people together is a good line.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah. Nice picture.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a dork, but, you know, when I listen to poetry, like when I listen to music or songs, I'm not a big concert person, but when I do go, I tend to do it with my eyes closed because I just enjoy kind of, you know, having that experience, you know, with my ears, you know,
right.
More auditory experience.
Right.
And, you know, it's great, something like the city pushing people together. It's just that, you know, having your eyes closed and allowing your mind to just kind of imagine what does that mean, what does that look like.
The other thing that I mentioned to Mark, I wanted to try and get a sense of the sense, since we're all poem lovers, something like this on a monthly basis, not necessarily a favorite poem, but just poetry and conversation. Just bring a poem for whatever. Maybe you wrote it, maybe it just hit you that day or whatever. Just come, we'll have a room somewhere, maybe here or at the studio. Just have poetry and conversation. Do you think that might be?
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah,
I totally support it.
Judging by the fact that I had a hard time whittling down which one. Yeah.
You'll always find one, I think.
Yeah, my favorite was intimidating.
There's many poems out there as grains of sand on the beach, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yes, there are. Yeah. And I think, well, Faith heard earlier, she may not have connected it, but having come out of, in the writing world, certainly reporting on Franklin, I had rewritten Reflections on a Gift from a friend called Felicity, recapping the 24 candidate interviews. So it's Reflections on a Gift of Conversation.
Yeah.
So you can go to quietpoet.com, put in Reflections, and you can find that if you want to see a different version, but more of a Franklin focus music.
And the poem you read, The Peace of Wild Things, mm-hmm. that's kind of what I like to do is if I write poetry, is the nature and landscaping and the mindfulness. Mm-hmm. So that really, I just found it, and I'm going to have to buy the book.
This is a
collection.
Derek Keeler from Prairie Home Companion, and he just has a way of picking the best. I mean, literally called good poems, but Wendell Berry has a collection called the Mad Farmer collection, and they're excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This book, Complete Poems of Robert Frost, I got this at Brattle.
Okay, Brattle.
I think it was on West Street, downtown Boston. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I got this about 25 years ago, and I started, they display books outdoors.
Sure.
And I think it was $3.50. Are you kidding me? $3.50.
Yeah.
And I didn't have money on me, so I had to hit an ATM, and I hid the book on a bookshelf, but turned it around and hid it a little bit.
So nobody would take it before you came back.
Had a little panic attack, but it was there. So
excellent.
I've had this for about 20, 25 years.
He's a Lawrence native, right? Or Mass native, at the least.
I think so.
Frost.
He was born in Lawrence, Mass.
Born in Lawrence, and then certainly he had a farm in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
He also spent time out in Amherst.
You're right.
And what's interesting is he dropped out of high school. Mm-hmm. No. No college degree. No high school diploma.
No.
But he was teaching in college.
Right. He has an interesting life, having read one of his biographies.
Sad life.
Yeah. The mental illness in the family was kind of rampant, and yet it wasn't blood related because his wife had issues.
Yeah, it wasn't him. It was his wife and children.
Wife and kids. Yeah,
it's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, had love with them.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in college, I started to really get into quotations. You know, and I just started keeping that Word document with things I've heard or things I've read or quotes.
Yep. Quotes to live by.
I just find meaningful for whatever reason. I mean, it really, there's a wide range. Sometimes it's funny and silly, mm-hmm. sometimes more serious. But so many of them come from poetry.
Sure.
That's kind of where the pressure gets hit.
Yeah. And one of my other blog pages, Steve's Two Cents, I have a list of quotes. That I've accumulated over the years and gets updated. Mm-hmm. Going back to one of the ones that you did before, I think, and I've also remembered it because one, it was also a Steve. Mm-hmm. Steve Farber wrote it. He was a speaker, author, whatever. But it resonated to certainly what I was attempting to do, what I think is that kind of good advice. Do what you love in the service of those who love what you do. And oh, by the way, if they can pay you for it, great. But do what you love in the service of those who love what you do.
Yep.
Right? And that's, you know, that's an aspect of one of those pieces there. So, yeah. If he could put it in 7 words, then it would be all set, right?
I might dig into it. We might have one for
you
that.
You might have one like that, yes. Yeah.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.